Well, I too greet each one of you in Jesus' name, the Lord of the church, and the one by which we are and through which we are conquerors. I want to look at that a little bit this morning. Before I do so, though, I'd like to just give us, we did have a busy week, and I would like to just give a testimony to, first of all, our ministers' meeting and conference sessions that we had on Wednesday and Thursday. Before I do that, I would also like to say that I would like to give time for testimony here yet at the beginning of the service. I heard a number of prayer requests, but I would like to give an opportunity for anyone to share their experience or what touched their life this week, especially in our outreach efforts and the street work that we did. We gathered at Tyrone on Wednesday morning. I think the first meeting started about 8 o'clock, especially for the deacons. It was a time for them to sort of discuss and share and be taught from some of the senior deacons and deal with the questions that they face, and so they had a good time, I heard. I was not there. I would have been okay to sit in it, but I just wasn't able to make it. So I was not there for that. We started about 10 o'clock then with the regular service, which lasted till 5:30. And we go through all the normal steps. We go through, there's sort of the normal sort of organizational items to take care of. Anything from of course, the new members were there. There was about six. There was five new members there, three ministers, and two deacons. We looked at the financial needs that all those requests were given. The deacons shared what their needs were, and there is a new total that we'll be lifting an offering for. I'm sharing this for your consideration. That total is $406,000, which is down about $350,000 or $80,000 less than it was last offering that we lifted. So we did make some good progress. God has blessed us. Although $406,000 still sounds like a lot of money, it's a lot of people. And as one brother shared, this isn't some insurance company premiums that we're paying in, but rather it is money that's going directly to brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we share that need. We'll lift an offering for that before December. There's also discussion and plans for ministers' ordination. Those were being reported for the most part, saying these were our plans. I think we did give a vote of support on a couple, but there are three ordinations scheduled, one of them being a double ordination. In fact, two of them being double ordinations, two in October, one in December, Ridgeview, Susquehanna Valley, and Leola. So none of them are real close to us here. Then we go on through some elections and some minor things like that, and taking care of some anything from the Pilgrim Witness editor, those kinds of things. And then we spent some time in prayer requests and sharing. We broke up into six groups, I believe it was, and went into some sharing in our groups and prayer prior to our lunch. And then we had a number of open discussion items which can take on a life of their own or not. Just depends on whether they're controversial or not, or whether there's much debate or not and much discussion. And we had some good discussion. I do believe that one of the blessings that our conference has is the ability to discuss things and be willing to discuss the hard things and ask the hard questions. And at the end of the day, though, I think we had unanimous votes on almost everything that we finally came down to. So, well, there's a motion been made, or there's a decision that needs to be made, and a decision was made. And so I'm thankful for that. I mean, we looked at some things from accountability forms. There's some changes on that. There was some sort of it was being used in maybe a couple different ways, and so it was made simpler, I believe, and better, in my opinion. So that's something you'll see. The other thing that's going to come to your attention, because as a brotherhood, changes are not made to the decrees without discussion, input from the brotherhood, and so that involvement is here. You'll see a little letter in your mailbox here soon, but it has to do with our technology and this idea that 10 years ago or 12 years ago we had said, look, if you need the internet, here's a form, fill it out, we'll meet together and talk about it. Basically a permission form. And that is being taken out of our decree booklet because of the changes in where we're at, some of the changes we've made, that seemed to be obsolete and was not really being used. So we just wanted to keep that current. That'll be taken out. You'll see the wording of that or the removal of that wording at a later date. I'll try to get it in your mailboxes. We talked about Bangladesh and the desire to appoint and ordain Donald as an evangelist, as you all have heard us discussing that. We talked about Cumberland Outreach, just reports, New Mexico. There's, Lord willing, plans for a group to be forming there. There's interest in an area, and some men are giving some leadership to that. So those were some of the things we talked about. Somehow we got to 5 o'clock, and we weren't done, and we went on to 5:30 and finished one item, and we broke up. We had, for those of you who weren't able to be at a mission meeting Friday evening, I'm sorry that you were not there. We had an excellent message by Brother, I would like to say his name, Jonas Koblenz. Thank you. Brought us a message there. And then, of course, Thursday, a number of you were at conference. There was about 5 messages from 9 a.m. until 3:30, so there was a lot there, sort of packed full. So we were blessed by that. God's been good to us, and I think it gave me new courage to keep working. Is that a fair way to say it? Press on. And so I was blessed by that. What are any testimonies you might have? We don't need to take a lot of time, but I would like to give a time because I don't know if we'll have another one. Specifically, Altoona for Jesus or anything this week. But I was thinking along those lines. Maybe it's a little redundant. We already had an opportunity with the prayer requests you were sharing. And if that's all you have, I'm okay with that.
I just want to praise God. Personally, it was spiritually charming and just reminding me again of what more I can do on a personal level, like day to day throughout the week, but it's not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite part was the work that we did on the street corners, and then yesterday we wrapped up the day with there were 4 of us that stood on the intersection of Walgreens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very public spot there. We just held gospel signs and passed out CDs and literature and invitations. And it's just interesting too. People would blow horns and wave and give thumbs up. And for us guys, we were, you know, going along the stops traffic there at the light.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a blessing to just be an encouragement to the people about it. Because I believe that a lot of people, it was flavorful. I think people appreciated the effort that they saw. Like,
yeah.
It was just a reminder. I think that there are people in this town that appreciate that. And then there's always the other review. It's yet another option. I want to thank the church family too for everything that you did to support it and come along behind and make it possible, because it would not be possible to do that.
Thank you for that testimony, Brian. I think I'd seen another hand. Yes.
I would say that I was really blessed by coverage is not something that's going to share your comfort, but I was one of the last by Pepper, and I honestly say that I enjoyed it. I did feel that there was a more favorable response from the people than what I would have seen last year passing out literature.
As long as you continue to speak up like that, please do.
I was standing there at 71st Street passing out CDs, and a school bus came up, and a boy, probably about 15 years old, stuck his head out the window, and he goes, "Can I have some of those CDs?" And I said, "Sure," and I gave him one, and he turned it over, and he saw what it was, and he saw that it obviously was a gospel CD. His head came back out the window, and he said, "Can I have some more?" I said, "Absolutely." And I gave him all that I had, went back and got the door while the bus was still sitting there, and I said, "Pass them out." And I could see these things growing all over the bus. People were reaching for them in the bus. And we passed probably 50 to 60 CDs into that one school bus.
Yeah.
And I had to wonder what all came out of that, you know. But I was really blessed with that 15-year-old boy's interest and his willingness to distribute CDs on that bus. Share that.
Did I see a hand here? Okay. I'm open to this side of the house, certainly. In fact, I'm sort of expecting that. Yes.
I have some of the projects that have been helping out at individual homes or whatever, doing yard work, cleaning up whatever is available, especially if we're inside cleaning and you're in an environment where
Amen. Thank you for that. Anyone else? Yes. Thank you for that. Anyone else? Yes, Brother Llewellyn.
Hi, I'm not a lady. We're hanging out. She's sitting on the porch. I called her over there. She's like, are you guys getting paid for this? And I said, no. I got home and watched the video. It just had to pay me out.
Yes. I understand your answer and her response. Yes. All right. Well, I was blessed very much by it. I'll admit to you, any one of us, I don't know, maybe Leo never feels uncomfortable. Brother Leo, maybe you never feel uncomfortable, but I know what it's like to feel just a little uncomfortable sometimes. Okay. Thank you for that. I just didn't know. But I, for me, probably the easier one was walking along to the houses and interacting with individuals there. And we had a number of opportunities that I was blessed by very much. One young lady, and I won't share any names here this morning, but she was someone who was just sitting there smoking her cigarette. And as we began to talk, we had an opportunity to actually sort of, I don't know, she wasn't taking offense, and she was making statements such as, "Well, I'm a Christian." I can accept that from her until she began to tell me that, but she's going to still keep living in fornication. And I said, but wait a minute, you just got done telling me that the reason you don't go to church is because the hypocrites that are in the church. But now you're telling me that you're in Christ, that you're going to heaven. That's what she said. Oh, I'm going to heaven. I said, on what basis do you make that statement? On what basis? And I'm not so much challenging you as I'm just telling us that you and I, we don't have that choice. We may say that if we wish, but God's word says something different. It makes it very clear. And so we went through those things. And we had an interesting discussions around that. She was sobered, it seemed like, and listening. And at the end of the day, I probably received more from it, but I don't know. I think she was sincere in her desire. I said, to me, where you're at is you're at a place. No, if you come walk in our back doors, we're not going to mock you or somehow slur you for being a single mother. Of course not. We all have sins of our past. But you couldn't sit among us without us challenging you about whether you're going to live with a man that you're not married to. And so that's where the difference is. We're not going to look down on you because of the sins of your past, by no means. But how are we going to, you know what? So that was that, dear lady. There was a couple others. I'll read to you as we were. One of the blessings of social media or instant responses, I don't know if we're really that social media connected, but I got a phone call last year when we were on the street corners handing out, and a lady called me and said, why did you give gospel literature to my children? So at least I knew we were getting something done. And then, but this time as we were singing on that corner, I checked my phone just because we had handed out thousands of pieces with my phone number on by then. And here, there was an email. Brother Clyde, you forwarded it. I actually am second in chain there. I think you had got it first. A gentleman wrote in this to the 4th Avenue website. Tell those two young ladies that talked to the old guy in the yard that I'll definitely stop in for a visit. I seen God's love in their eyes and faces of faith that glowed. A Mennonite church is one of the few churches I haven't visited. A lot of history there. But you must understand, it's strictly out of curiosity. Dorothy Parker once said, the only cure for boredom is curiosity. There is no cure for curiosity. Later. It just blessed me. I did reply to him that evening, and a few other things, but I said, curiosity is a good reason to come. It's an okay reason to come. We'd be glad to have you. Anyway, that just blessed my heart. We were sort of there under the glare of many eyes and the bright sunlight on that street corner, and I was just took courage by it. I was able to share it with the group. Did I see a hand, Brother Leo?
Several years ago, that happened. She was talking to some young men, and somehow a mother discovered that he was talking to her son. She called a friend, told a friend to give a phone to who he was talking to. He was told to give it to us.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I can appreciate either response. The one that felt almost like flattery, I don't believe that it was, and the response you're talking about. The point is, the message is going out. So thank you for that. I feel like we've spent enough of time on that. I did want us to have an opportunity to share that because I think it's sort of, maybe it's partially of where the message that I have to share sprung from. It was just a message of blessing in my own life. I'd been pondering this verse from actually earlier in the week. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And also was given an assignment to preach three messages, one from Romans 6, one from Romans 7, one from Romans 8. So I've been thinking about that a little bit. So I just want to look at the end of Romans 8 for a few minutes here this morning. The verse that was going through my mind is found in verse Romans 8, and it is verse 37. Brother Brian, you already quoted at least some of these verses, but verse 37 says this, "Nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Why don't we just stop for a moment and pray, since we've let our minds wander pretty far this morning. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I just pray that you would help us to understand these verses. I pray that you would help us to understand your will for our lives, your desire for our lives, what you've provided for us. And I pray that we would be able to understand how that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And I pray that that would not make us proud or haughty or unnecessarily bold or presumptuous, but that it would make us thankful, and that we would understand, that we would receive what you have for us in these verses, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as I was thinking about probably the whole host of different teaching and thought that goes through your mind when you think about responsibility of leadership, and you think about the opportunity to go out and serve as we've done in the last day or two, I was pondering this question, and then as I thought of this verse, this is how I would like to sort of start. And I ask you this: is the kingdom of God fragile? Does the kingdom of Christ, does it hang on a thread? Brothers and sisters, are we just so scraping by? Or are we just hanging on by the skin of our teeth, is a expression that's given, that's made at times. I ask you, are we about to collapse? Is the Christian church about to collapse? Are we in dire straits? Are we in big trouble? Do we need to, as the one man I spoke with on Friday, hang on to our faith but keep our guns real close? Where are we at? That's off to the side a little bit, but see, these are, I think they're important questions, and how we answer them, how they are answered will develop a worldview and outlook in our lives that will affect us. It'll change how we think. It'll change how we act. It'll change what we believe. Can we face the pressure society is bringing to us? Is our faith threatened? It was interesting, as I spoke with the one man, he went on to say that he believes in Christ. He believes that that's the only way he can stand before God, and he believes that he is standing before God justified. But as we talked, it became less and less apparent to me that that was the case. And he went on to say what we need to stand up for and all the defense that's needed in our own personal lives. And I asked him, I said, well, do you know if that's the position that Jesus would have taken, there would be no Christ. There would be no Savior. In fact, the very reason that Jesus was rejected is because he didn't come and put his foot down against the tyranny, against the oppression of the Romans. And the Jews said, where's our Savior? Where's our King? Where's our Judge? Who's going to stand up for us? And it wasn't Jesus Christ. And I said, so if Jesus Christ would have taken the position that you've just expressed to me, we would not have a Savior. There'd be no shed blood. And so I believe that Jesus Christ is still calling us to the same place. And so as we sort of went through that, but you know, I walked away from that more clear in my own mind where I was at. But I felt like it's so hard to ding the beliefs of an old man. But I trust the Spirit of God can do much more than what I said. I believe that. But as I considered all of that, I didn't feel, as I began to make some of those statements, he was like, oh, you really think so? Wow, you know. And that's when I realized that I was speaking from a more than conqueror standpoint. I don't feel like I've got that position all handled or figured out. But that's how I was thinking about the world and how I saw it through what Christ has done for me. I'm going to keep moving along here. My opening, probably, I'll try to keep this concise so we can conclude in good time. So as I thought about the things that face us, and we've talked about some of what's out there, I also was blessed by the fact It is true that most of us probably do not receive the real confrontational tests of our face as often as we should to stay real healthy. Now, I could be wrong, but we face a lot of pressure. You talk about family, you talk about finances, you talk about relationships, all of those things. There's no doubt we face those. But when you walk out the door and you know that you're going to get out there and start going up and down steps and talking to people, and when you walk up that step, the lady's sitting there looking at you, and you say to her, "Do you believe in Christ?" And she says, "No." And then you say, "Well, do you believe in God?" And she says, "No." "Would you like to talk about it?" And she says, "No." There's something about that exchange that just blessed me. It sorrowed me. It saddened me because she sat there with the cigarette in her fingers and just looked up at me. It saddened me for her, but it blessed me for me because of what I felt for her. And so I was able to say, I'll give them to my sister. Yeah, you may lay them there. Okay. God bless your day. You too. Thank you. And we went our way. My point in sharing that was simply just because what I think that I heard from you all this morning, and those of you who couldn't be there, I'm not meaning to exclude anyone or make you feel like you haven't arrived or anything, but what you see in that, what you feel in that, is the grace of God, the Spirit of God that's just working in your mind, in your heart, in your mind, and it's bringing these truths to you, is giving you the wherewithal to be able to share, and that's a blessing. And that is, again, part of what helps us to understand that we are more than conquerors. I asked you, too, this morning, some of you are visitors here, and you may not know this, but within 2 weeks, this assembly is going to divide, or as some say would say it, and I'm good with that as well, multiply. It's a little bit more positive way of saying it, but about 8 families meeting in Cumberland, and so there'll be a whole lot more room for you next time you come. We'd be glad to have you again. But I asked you this morning, do we believe that we will be able to still rise up as victorious and blessed churches of God even after our brethren have left us? You believe it? Absolutely. Now, I know I'm going to miss some of my brothers and sisters. I know it. I know that you will too. But we are more than conquerors. And so I ask you this question. How can we be more than conquerors? And I'd like to answer that with looking at a couple questions in the close of these verses. I want to look at a couple questions in the close of these verses and just consider that thought. How can we be not just conquerors, but more than? What's that supposed to mean? I mean, really, when you have won the battle, you've won, right? What does it mean? This word conqueror means to vanish beyond. In fact, the Greek word conqueror that is used has this little preposition on it, hooper, which means to place above and beyond. And so really in the English language, we had to use more than conquerors to get the same thought as the one Greek word which meant more than conquerors. It meant to be beyond a conqueror. And so I'd like us to understand that. This morning, I asked you, is this just some exaggeration to make a point? You know, we do that sometimes. We all do that sometimes. I was going to say there's a few of us here that do it more often than others. When we describe something, we describe it like double beyond what it is to make a point. And I ask you, is that what's happening here? And we'll find the answer to that. Why was the Apostle Paul inspired to write as he did? So the one purpose of this message this morning is to understand the fact upon which this statement is made. I want you to look at, we'll start here in verse Verse 31, that's where the first question is. What shall we say then to these things? And what shall we say then to these things? Well, it begs to ask, what's being said? And Romans is a book that goes, I think I get bits and pieces of it, but there's plenty of it that goes above my head and my understanding. As I studied this and as I read different thoughts surrounding this portion of scriptures, I'd like us just to go back, maybe back as far as verse 23. But I'd like to say, in the verses prior to verse 23, Paul is, he sort of transitions here from the call to holiness of life. Paul had, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And from that, those opening verses, or at least the way the Bible is divided, Paul expounds upon what it is to live that life. And now you see him here in verse 23, and he says this. Well, let's go to verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Now, what's being said there? Who are the they and we in verse 20? The whole creation, and not only they, but ourselves also. One of the ways in which I think we can view this, what's being taught here, is the fact that Paul, see, there's a lot of attention being given in the book of Romans to this idea that of the Gentiles and the Jews and what God was doing here. Paul was writing to the Romans. They were Gentiles. And so he was writing to them to help them to understand. And you see this all on through as Paul goes back and forth explaining the plan of God and how it works and the place, how this all comes together. And he's saying here, in verse 22, that the whole creation groaneth. And all of creation, the Gentiles, all of mankind, are at this place of groaning, travailing in pain until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, the Jews, which had the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is not seen is not, that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now let's look at verse 26. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. For the saints according to the will of God. Now, I'll just pull maybe that last phrase out, according to the will of God. This is important to understand. This is going to help us to connect to those that he called and predestined and the elect and some of those thoughts as we go along. We're not going to even spend a lot of time in that, but I want you, as we're thinking about this question, we are more than conquerors. On what basis? Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purposes, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I believe what we're seeing here is Paul teaching us that this plan of God, the will of God, this plan of God goes back far beyond Abraham. It goes back into the very beginnings of the plans of God, where Jesus, where this plan of salvation, the plan of the Gentiles, the plan of the folks on 4th Avenue, the corner of 4th Avenue, 25th Street, the opportunity, the plan for the brothers and sisters in the dusty streets of Bangladesh or wherever you live, that plan was put in place according to the will of God. They were predestined. There was a plan that was made for you and me to be sitting here at this place in Christ and becoming who, so that Christ might be the firstborn among many brethren. Okay? That was the plan. That was what Brother Kervin's thoughts this morning. That you talked about, you went back You went into a couple hours, and you went back a day, and you went back a week. But really, what did go through the mind of Christ? I'm willing to accept that's who it was that sat down there with Abraham and said, we're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And there was that exchange that went on, this appeal. What went through? Well, you see, this extends back. It was the plan of God, the will of God. And so here it is. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. I believe we can look at this as Paul wrote this verse. He was thinking about what God was doing then. And certainly God is still doing it today through Jesus Christ, because time has not ended yet. The opportunity has not been closed. And so here it is. Paul was saying, God made this plan for you Romans and us Jews. He allowed all of us to end up through the sin of Adam in a place of groaning and travailing. He brought a common salvation to a common man because they had a common need. And here it is. He says here that whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And not only did he call them, he justified them, and them he also glorified. And so on that premise, he says, what shall we say then to these things? What shall we say? If God be for us, who can be against us? The plan of God was what Paul was just doing there, was just giving us a snapshot, a rundown of the complex and long-ranging plan of God that had brought them to this glorious place, which I believe some of the Jews were still struggling to accept. And Paul seemed to have accepted it so well. And he says, this is God's plan. He called you. Not only did he call you, he made the plan, he called you. And today we see it actually being completed. There are Gentiles and Jews alike who are justified and glorified before God. That's what's happening here. And so what do we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If this is God's plan, who can stop it? There is no argument. And I know that we don't spend much time this morning because we're not Jews. There isn't a lot of attention that we struggle with about, well, you know, are we the chosen people or aren't we? Well, should we be? That's not really where we're at, and I understand that. I'll be honest with you. As I looked at this verse, it's a verse we quote in our heads. It's a verse that we say, and I wonder if we don't use it out of context sometimes. In other words, but as I studied this, I would like us to understand that we still come back to the same place. But we understand what Paul was saying here, what Paul was teaching here, is that this was God's plan. It was one that he developed, and we're seeing it through, and here it is. It is actually fulfilled today, in his day. And of course, it still stands today. And so on that basis, if so many of us, our eyesight becomes so narrow, and we look at the experience of today or last week, and we say, oh, God must be for us. Well, no, Paul's saying God was for us because it goes way back here. And so if God invested all this time and energy and planning and sacrificing, who can be against us? There is no one that can take this from us. God's plan is that all men could be saved and that the Gentiles are part of those all men. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Paul said it there, for us all. Unashamedly, unabashedly, he included all mankind in that statement. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who then shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifieth. I want to look at, there's three other questions that are asked. We're looking at them all at one time together here. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I want to look at that question separately here in just a moment. But I ask us this morning, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is he that condemneth? And this is all about us understanding that is the question, really, the question in my own words being asked is this: is God going to turn against those that he has chosen? Is God going to do it? Is God going to back away? Is God going to begin to withdraw his grace? Is God going to pull back from us this morning? Is Christ going to turn back from what he's invested so much in? Who shall separate us? Or who is he that condemneth? After all, who is going to condemn us? It's Christ who died to save us. It is, and he has risen again, and those precious words, he's at the right hand of God interceding for us. That's the investment. That is the commitment that Christ has in us all, in those of us who are in Christ. And then the final question we have here, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And as I read some thoughts surrounding that verse, it's easy for us to read the verse the way I just read it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And we often think of it, who shall separate us? Who is going to do that? But maybe we should read the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What shall separate us? In other words, what is going to... Maybe let me ask the question this way. The question that I believe is being asked here, understanding what we've just looked at, are we going to turn back from the love of Christ? The question is really coming to you and I. What is going to separate us from the love of Christ? Who are we going to separate ourselves? Who else could? God's not going to. We need to understand that you and I accept, can by choice separate our very own selves from the love of God. I can accept that. But this is asking, if God in Christ isn't going to do it, who can do it? And he goes on and he says, shall persecution or distress, is that going to do it? Is it going to be famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. And now he just sort of comes out into this positive statements that are ours this morning. They are also can be our expression. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Those are the promises that God makes to us. If we're here this morning and we are genuine, we're sincere about our walk with Christ, if it is our heart to follow after God, there isn't any one of these things that are going to separate us from the love of God. And I believe that I just pulled out what one commentator said about this verse. The true followers of Christ can never be forsaken by him, and his church, which is founded on the rock, can never be shaken down by the tempest of persecution. And what God does for his church in general, he does for every individual in that body. No man that trusts in him can be confounded. The confidence expressed by the apostle at the end of this chapter is as rational as it is bold. On the premises laid down by him and what the apostle had taught us here, in reference to which he had most logically conducted his whole argument, the conclusion to which he arrives is as natural and forcible as it is legitimate. The permanency of the Christian church in all the tribulations it has endured from pagans and papists is a full proof of the correctness of the apostles' reasoning. What I believe that what the commentator wrote, and I read it because I felt like it wrapped up a thought this morning, and that is that the plan of God, put in place from the beginning of time, brought to us by the plan of God through the work of Jesus Christ, has brought and has included us into the body of Christ. How does it say that? And Christ has become the first fruits of all the brethren. He's become the first. We're part of that brethren. And as I considered that, and as I understand that this morning, I believe that those of us who are in Christ like that, when we face these challenges and persecutions and the difficulties, the grace of God, it will pour out for us. It has done that. And we can receive that, and we will receive that. And that's how we become more than conquerors. But yet I want to conclude with this thought. More than conquerors, we ask the question, how can we be more than conquerors? We are more than conquerors this morning because we don't just become those who have won, but we become the sons and daughters of God. We become the princes and princesses of God. And I don't understand all of that. The Bible teaches that clearly. We become heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And so we are in the King's house this morning. Not because we've met in this room, but we're in the King's house. We're a part of that. We're around the throne of God. Certainly not the way we'll be in eternity, but we're involved in the King's business. He's actually in fellowship and in partnership with men and with women. And that is how we become more than just conquerors. We already know that by faith, we will be final conquerors over death and hell and as we leave this life. But brothers and sisters, even here yet today, Paul was speaking this, I believe, in the present and certainly in the future, that today we have become more than conquerors because we are the sons and daughters and prince and princesses of God. May God give us confidence, not a recklessness, but a confidence that as we move forward, changes are coming, the winds are blowing, difficulties are here, but we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And let's take courage and continue to move ahead, brothers and sisters. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come here before you at the close of this service, and we thank you for the blessings of this past week, and we pray that you would give us the courage to face the challenges of this coming week. Lord, we think about the souls who we've had an opportunity to speak to and testify to, and I just pray that your Spirit would do its work. I pray that you would accomplish your work yet today in this city and in our communities. And we pray for also that you would accomplish your work in our hearts and our lives. I pray that we would be open to you, that we would allow your word to impact us and to influence us. And we thank you that through Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ, and our commitment to walking with you, to being in the battle with you, to be workers in your kingdom, and to be a part of your kingdom, that through that we are experiencing today that of being more than conquerors, to being sons and daughters of God, to be in relationship and in cooperation with your plan, your work here below. And I pray that you would sanctify us, Lord. We're humbled by this thought. We are needy creatures. We're weak vessels. And I pray that you would stir us up, cleanse us, sanctify us, draw us near to you. I pray that there would be an openness and light in each one of our hearts and lives, as the gentleman testified of those sisters. And I pray that we would also have the love of God in our hearts for one another, for each other. Lord, we pray your blessing on this next week with the revival meetings. We just lift up Brother Daniel, and I pray that you would move among us. I pray if there's any here who have not yet named the name of Christ, have not become more than conquerors through Christ, I pray that you would prepare those hearts. And so we just give all of this to you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.